Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
I want to welcome every one of you. This wonderful time we get to celebrate tonight. Drive-in church. Praise God. So glad you're here. So welcome everybody who's online from Newcastle campus, Cranberry campus, and the many, many places around the world now that are connecting to this. We are so grateful. And we're praying that God just does something great in your heart tonight. And we're so grateful that you've come here. And as we enter into God's word tonight, I want to make a pronouncement to you. I want you to understand that we serve a God that doesn't wonder what's going to happen next. I have people ask me over and over again, what do you think's going to happen? And if you'll listen to any kind of news reports, any kind of media, you're going to hear this. We don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know what this virus is going to do. We don't know what's going to happen to the economy. And the list goes on and on and on. But I have good news for you tonight. I can guarantee you tonight what's going to happen. You say, do I have your word on it, Pastor John? No, my word's worthless on this, but I can give you God's word on it. And I want you to see that in God's word, there is a guarantee for his people that he will heal this land. Come on, man, believe God with us. It's exactly what he's called us to believe. And I want to help you tonight to take you into an understanding of right in the middle of this crazy pandemic, what God is doing and a move of his spirit that's occurring right now, even an amazing prayer movement that swept the world. And I want to read you from 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. God said this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin. And God said, I will heal their land. If this nation has ever needed the healing power of God in every realm, in every sphere of life, it's right now, and our God is faithful. And I want to help you to see tonight what he says in his word, what is promised to you, whether you're here tonight and you're 85 or you're 5. Whether you have your little ones in the car with you, whether you're a 12, 15, 18-year-old, listen to me. God wants to use every one of us to see a move of his spirit upon this earth where the healing power of God sweeps not just this nation, but he sweeps the world. And the first thing I want you to see is he said, if my people will do something. So many times I get asked so many questions. Pastor John, do you think this is God's judgment? No. This is a work of an enemy that wants to destroy human beings, that wants to thwart and stop the move of God in the earth. Can I tell you that when God judges something, there is no tomorrow. When God says in final pronouncement on something, judge, there is no recovery. There is no stimulus. Read the book of Revelation. You find out what happens when the judgment of God falls. This is not God's judgment. In fact, this is God telling his people, come to me. I want to stop this judgment. I want to stop this plague. How many of you know there's a whole lot in the Bible about God stopping some plagues? And he wants to do it right now. Say amen with your horns. Come on, man. That's exactly right. He said, my people, I want to use my people to forgive this land. I want to use my people to heal this land. I want my people to stand up. It is time for God's people to a whole nother level to stand and to become salt and become light. Jesus said we are salt and light. Salt a preservative, light is a disinfectant. He said, I've called you to be the light of the world. This isn't just what God will do. It's what his people will do in his presence. He said, if my people will do this, if my people, God is looking for willing vessels, not perfect vessels. God is looking for people who will yield to him no matter what the circumstances say, no matter what the forecasters say. Now, you may question that, and many times people have asked over and over, hey, when are we coming back in the building? I'm going to put out a video this week to give you some information about it. As important as that is, and it is very important that the church meets together. The Bible commands us to do it. I want you to understand that we are more outside the walls than we are in the walls because Christ lives in you, not in a building. And he wants to do something amazing and great through your life. And right in the middle of this pandemic, God has done more through the ministries and the people of this church than at any time in our history. It's remarkable. 36,000 families have been fed over these weeks from this place right here. 36,000 people. Come on, man. What a privilege. Amazing. 700 plus people a part of Victory serving in the Help Your Neighbor outreach, both here at the Cranberry campus and the move up into the Newcastle campus. Remarkable. And here's what I want you to know about the Help Your Neighbor outreach. We've been connected with, we didn't ask for it, but we've had corporations like Walmart, Pepsi, on and on and on, want to get involved and have a partner to be able to help people. And so I want you to know, Help Your Neighbor is not temporary. It is now a permanent fixture on this campus. We're going to continue it when the pandemic is behind us. So we're going to keep serving people. We're going to keep feeding people. We're going to keep blessing people. Come on, man. That's a great place to shout amen. God is so, so good. He's so good. I want to tell you a story about a prayer movement. Just as a really quick, one quick beep, if you got a chance to hear Pastor Chris Hodges this past Tuesday night on FaceTime with Chris Hodges, or anybody got to hear Chris, just give me a quick beep. It's a remarkable time. In fact, this Tuesday night I'll be me having Dino Rizzo. Dino actually leads a national, international ministry of serving people. Remarkable. You don't want to miss that as well. But Chris, Pastor Chris shared with us how this whole prayer movement evolved. And I want to take you through that story. Then I want to take you back to 2 Chronicles. And then I want to bless your life. I want to speak life over you. I want to speak life over this nation. Because that's what God commands his people to do. Chris Hodges was over in Israel right when the pandemic started to emerge and they were starting to shut nations down. He was on a trip to Israel with John Maxwell. And when everything began to shut down, he said, in the time of prayer, the Holy Spirit began to burden his heart. You've got to lead my people into prayer. And he was, I think, initially just thinking for his own church. And so when he got back from Israel, he said he did something he's never done before. Pastor Chris Hodges pastors the second largest church in the nation. In all their campuses, they have over 50,000 people in attendance on a weekend. And you can imagine with that type of reach, he has some opportunities and some connections to be able to speak to people. And he said, I've always had the opportunity to speak directly to the president, but I've never, ever used it. I didn't think it was appropriate. I wasn't called to do it. It wasn't in my heart to do it. But when I got back from Israel, I got a hold of my contact and I said, I don't want to speak to the president, but I'm asking you to ask him to call a national day of prayer. This was the week prior to March 15th. And the very same day, four other ministers of reputation around the nation called and asked for the same thing. And then our president on March 15th declared a day of prayer for this nation. And something was birthed at that moment that has swept the world. I want to talk to you about it because I want you to understand that it's directly connected to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. A minister that Chris knew and knew of and knew well and others know, who has more of a prophetic kind of ministry. And all that simply means is, how many of you think God knows the future and knows tomorrow? He sure does. Absolutely, he does. But he also wants to tell sometimes us what tomorrow is. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And when he got back from Israel and they had had the day of prayer on March 15th, he had a conversation with this gentleman and he said, Chris, he said, 13 months ago, I had a visitation from God. And this is all documented. There are many people that knew this 13 months ago. When this actually, because this is from March 15th back. He said, 13 months ago, I saw this coming and I wrote it out and many people were aware of it. He said, I saw a virus that would come out of China that would sweep the world. I saw New York City being so ravaged that it was unimaginable. I saw a distribution, a redistribution of wealth around the nation. And then I saw something that thrilled my heart. I saw the footprint of the kingdom of God explode and greatly expand around the circle of the globe. And he said, Chris, and I saw this virus take a turn around Easter weekend and Passover weekend that it would make a shift, and it did. He said, but then three times the Holy Spirit said this to me, 17 months, 17 months, 17 months. In 17 months, I will do something that will be indisputably the power of my hand upon this nation. That 17 months is May 31st, Pentecost Sunday. And Chris said, I know one of two things it should be or could be. One is that God may supernaturally eradicate this plague and this disease How many of you know he has a history of doing that to some plagues? Amen? He said, but it'll also very easily be an explosion of God's people winning this world to Christ in numbers and measures that have never been seen in the history of the church. Whatever that is, I'm telling you by faith, I'm telling you, this is not happenstance. This is not some fantasy. These are reputable people. After Chris got off the phone with him, he called a group of about 25 ministers, and they did a Zoom call together. Most of you would know virtually every one of their names. People like T.D. Jakes and Stephen Furtick, Robert Morris, Craig Groeschel, Jimmy Evans, and Jensen Franklin. They all were on this call. And Craig and Chris said this. He said, I feel like God has called us to unite to pray together. And I have it in my heart that we should call it Unite 714, around 2 Chronicles 7:14. And God's called us to do it. Now, he had no imagination that what would happen would happen. So they began to just, these group of 25 ministers said, look, we're going to pray together. And they began to connect their ministries together. And before long, it's an amazing thing. It's only been 10 weeks since it started. In 10 weeks, there have been literally tens and tens of thousands of churches that have connected to Unite 714, and around the globe, over and over again, multiplied tens of millions of people that every morning at 7:14 in the morning and every night at 7:14 in the evening, people are stopping what they're doing and they're making a proclamation of faith over this nation and over this world. And God's people have come together and they are praying and believing God, and God is about to do something so remarkable in this time. He's already doing great things if you'll let him do it in your heart right now. I want to take you back to that verse. Let me read it to you again. God said, if my people, this isn't dependent on people that are far from God or hate God or don't know God. He said, if my people will do this. How many of you would tell me with an amen, you're one of God's people? Amen. He said, if my people who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turning from their wicked ways. I will hear them from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. I can tell you with great confidence by faith that we will see God heal this land. The greatest days of this nation in every sphere, including spiritually, are in front of it and not behind it, in the name of Jesus. How many of you can agree with that by faith? Amen. But the first thing he told us to do, he said, for my people, the first thing he said, you humble yourself. Humility is a decision to lay yourself low before God. Humility is a decision that you lift nothing, you lift no one above God. You don't lift the voice of a virus, you don't lift the voice of the media, you don't lift the voice of a government. Now, regardless, many people in government are doing their best, but if they've proven anything, and this is no criticism of any group or any specific group, they are powerless in this situation. Ineptness and powerlessness exceeds at every turn. It's human beings trying to fight a bonfire with a squirt gun. And everything they seem to do almost makes it worse. I'm not criticizing anybody for it, but I'm telling you, I have zero faith in human beings, but I have complete faith in a God who loves human beings. Amen. How many of you believe that with me? He's so faithful. He's so faithful. You see, humility refuses. Humility, he said, humble yourself. Lift nothing up before me. Not fear. Nothing. Humility picks a shadow from which to dwell under. You have to pick a shadow. You have to pick the shadow that you're going to abide under. Psalms 91 tells us this in verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the very shadow of the Almighty. To humble yourself before God is to make the decision whose shadow you're going to dwell under. The shadow of a virus and fear, the shadow of a media pronouncing God knows what every other day and who knows what it's going to be next. You can live under that shadow or you can live under the shadow of the Almighty and walk by faith and not by sight. You see, fear is when pride enters my heart and it lifts everything above God. Fear says, God, my Father is absent from my tomorrow. But faith in God and humility declares that God is faithful. He's faithful, and his presence is in my tomorrow. His presence is in my future. Humility declares that my God is healing our land right now, that my God is faithful, that this will bow its knee to the power of God. And we will humble ourselves, and we will seek his face and pray. We will turn from our wicked ways, and he will hear from heaven, and he will forgive this nation of its sins, and he will heal this land. He said, well, we don't deserve it. Yeah, well, you're right. None of us deserve forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift from God. What we deserve is judgment. But what he's given us is love and mercy. Aren't you glad to serve a God that is so good and loves human beings so much that he boasts against judgment and pours out his love and mercy on human beings? So good to know a God like that. It's so good. Yeah, go ahead, amen that one, buddy. That's so good. But something very important God said. He said, you are to pray and seek my face. Now, we've talked about the prayer movement, and we're going to continue to do that. We have more information coming on a culmination of this movement. We're going to continue to pray. But God said something very important. He said, seek my face. He didn't say, seek my hand. He said, seek my face. You see, God's face is his presence. God's face are his ways. God's face is intimacy with God. He said, when you humble yourself and pray, I want you to seek intimacy with me. I want you to seek my face, not what's in my hand. What's in God's hand is what he can give you. But he said, don't seek what's in my hand. Everybody simply wants the healing of the nation. He said, but don't seek that first. Seek me. Let me do a work in you that you could reflect who I am. The greatest joy I have as a human being on the earth is when I'm in the presence of my children. And they're there with me, and they're just intimate. We're hanging out, and we just have this fellowship together. And I'm not a grandparent yet, but I can't wait. When I am, I'm going to ruin me some grandbabies. Then when they go home, they are not going to like their parents at all. That is my goal. Yes, amen. All the grandparents said amen. He said, well, that's not a good thing to do. None of your business. I'm doing it anyway. How many parents already did the hard job? Time for fun, baby. No greater joy in my life, no greater joy than in the presence of my children. We got that from the heart of our Father, who has no greater joy than when you fellowship with him. One of the greatest pleasures I have in life is being able to actually give to my kids. God's the same way. But let me tell you, the greatest heartache any parent will ever know is when your child wants what's in your hand, but they don't want your face. When they want what you can do for them, but they don't want your face. They don't want to know you. They don't want to be intimate with you. And they reject your ways. There is no greater heartache on the earth than that. God said, I don't want you seeking what's in my hand. I want you praying and seeking what is in my face for you, which is intimacy. And as a result, he said, then turn from your wicked ways. Now, he's not talking about robbing banks and killing people. He's talking about ways that don't line up with his ways in my life and your life. And this pandemic has given everyone us an opportunity to look at our lives and reflect and say, what is unpleasing, not pleasing to you, Father? Help me to please you. God is looking for vessels that are empty, vessels that are clean, empty of our own agenda, empty of our own ways. Clean, clean, if we'll let Jesus do the work in our life. Not clean of your own will and your own work, but clean by the power of God. God is looking for surrendered people, not gifted people. The people I see God using in some of the most fascinating ways on the earth, they really aren't the most gifted people at all, but they are often the most surrendered. And that surrender comes by saying, In spite of me, I'll trust you. In spite of me, I will obey you. In spite of me, let God be true and every man a liar. It's an amazing privilege to serve a God who loves you that much. It will cause this prayer to utter from your heart that's in the book of Psalms. Father, as I seek your face and not just what's in your hand, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and the thoughts that I let my mind rest upon, the things I do, let them be pleasing in your sight. And then he said, when those my people do this, I will hear from heaven and I will heal your land. And I believe with all my heart, come on, we have a God that is healing our land. He's so faithful. And I want to pray a pronouncement of faith over you. Whether you're in that car and you're a five-year-old or an 85-year-old or you're watching online, it doesn't matter your age. God wants to use every human being. He wants every one of us, of his people, to humble ourselves, pray and seek his face, turning from our wicked ways, knowing he will hear from heaven as we pray the mercy of God upon a nation that truly deserves judgment. But let me personalize it. I don't deserve his mercy. I deserve his judgment. But oh, God so loved us that he gave his son. And he gave him, Jesus said, whomever has the son has life. Whoever does not have life. What a great opportunity for you today to give your heart to the one who gave his heart for you. But before I do that, I want to make a faith declaration over your life. A faith declaration over this church, over our nation, over our world. And let's believe God together. I want you to let your heart agree with this as I speak by faith over your life, as we do just what this scripture said. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are your people, not because we've earned it, but because you rescued us. We are called by the name of Jesus, and we choose to humble ourselves under your mighty name. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus. We humble ourselves and live under the shadow of that marvelous name. We walk by faith and not by sight. We declare our God is faithful in our tomorrow. We declare our God is a healing God in our land. He's healing even now. Father, we pray and we seek your face, not just what's in your hand, and we turn from our wicked ways. And I thank you right now that you now hear from heaven. Your word declares, if we know that you've heard us, we know then that we have the petition that we've asked of you. And you will forgive our land of its many, many sins. And you will heal this land. So, Father, I pronounce by faith for every family, either here or watching online, who will watch this in the days and weeks to come. I pronounce the healing power of God over them. I thank you, Father God, that they will know you intimately. They will walk with you. They will be strong on this earth, as the scripture said, and do exploits, not in heaven, but on the earth. These young ones that people are saying, oh, their tomorrows are wasted, their tomorrows will be nothing, is a lie from the pit of hell. They will not be fodder for an enemy in the next generation. Our children will rise up and they will possess the gates of their enemies. Our children will be strong and do exploits in the earth. And no enemy will be able to stand before them as they stand before their God. Father, I thank you for your church to rise up and to be the salt and the light. Thank you for the privilege we've had to serve and to feed 36,000 families. Thank you for helping us to step into a whole nother level of loving people and serving people like Jesus does. And Father, I pray for our nation, our leaders, not the ones I only agree with, all of them. I pray for all that are in authority at a federal, state, and local level, that you would give them wisdom, that you would surround them with godly counsel. I bless them, Father, and I ask you to help them. And I pronounce by faith over our nation, over our world, and over our land, our God is forgiving our sin, and he is bringing his healing power to sweep this nation. And Father, I thank you that on the weekend of Pentecost Sunday, that we will enjoy an outpouring of your spirit that is going to shake the planet. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen, amen. With heads bowed, amen. Go ahead, give him a shout. So good. Before we go our way today, I want to make sure every one of you, either here in your cars or those of you watching online, have the opportunity to give your life to the one who gave his life for you. Right where you're at in your cars, if you would just bow your heads, close your eyes. Those of you watching online, just right where you're at. If you've never given your life to Christ, I want to give you the opportunity to open your heart to him. He turns no one away. When we die, our sins must be paid for. Either we pay for them ourselves and separated from God forever, or we receive the payment of a Savior who paid the sin debt that he didn't know and the debt that I couldn't pay. So with all heads bowed and eyes closed right where you are, if you want to receive Jesus into your heart to make him the Lord, the Savior of your life, he turns no one away. In a moment, I'll ask you to repeat a prayer with me. If you're in a car together with folks together, wherever you are, pray this out loud, whether you've done it in the past or not. Perhaps somebody with you will then have the freedom to invite Christ into their heart and not feel isolated. But pray it out loud where you hear it with your own ears, and we'll pray it with you as you invite Christ into your heart. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and my life. I turn from my past and wicked ways. And Jesus, I invite you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin debt is canceled. My sin is wiped away. And I am heaven bound when I die. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, man. Give them a big old shout. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.